Welcome to Lost Cast. This is Lost Cast 16.
Coming up on the big 2-0.
Yeah. We didn't have a new episode this week, but we decided we'd go ahead and do a podcast anyway. We're not doing kind of a full-blown theories podcast. We've only had like 3 new episodes since we did our last one.
Yeah.
And I think not enough has really developed this season to do another theory cast yet.
Yeah.
But we kind of wanted to do things a little bit differently. And we each, Robert and Brian and I, each kind of picked something that we wanted to talk about. And so that's how the format's going to go.
Yeah, but before we get into it, I just want to say, you know, people might think that, you know, because we do a podcast on Lost, that we're really cool. And but I have to say that one of my coworkers that sits across from me, every time I talk about Lost Cast, he puts both his hands up in the air and yells, "Dorch rule!" as loud as he can. And no, he did admit to me one day that he just does that because he's jealous, because he wishes he could be a part of the Lost show.
Yeah, I think even if people think that the podcast is a little dorky or what we do is a little dorky, everybody still loves Lost, so they're always really intrigued about it.
Yeah, I don't think it's any different than like talking about football, personally.
Yeah.
Robert might.
I don't know. Well, I mean, a football game's 3 hours in length. I doubt you could. We always go over how long the show lasts.
Yeah.
The show lasts an hour every week. And we probably go, what, maybe an hour 15 on our cast?
Yeah, something like that.
So a football game is 3 hours of viewing entertainment.
I mean, talking about football. Like, you know, the commentators talking about a game and hanging out and talking about the game and all that sort of stuff.
You know what? Speaking of football, I heard that at some games they might try and just do no announcers through a game. And they actually tried it in the CFL, and their ratings actually got better.
Wow.
There's no announcers. It's just that you just watch the game.
Are you saying that if we weren't podcasting, that Lost would be better?
Wow.
Some people would say that.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that would say that.
Dorks rule!
But Dorks do rule. Well, you know, tomorrow's the Super Bowl. The thing I like most about when I'm watching football is the same thing that a lot of ways I like about Lost. I like the backstories on people. I like to hear where the quarterback came from, what the coach's history is, and all these different things going on in their lives. Makes it a lot more interesting when you're watching the game. But that is another Dorks rule moment,
yes.
Isn't it? I'm a dork. I can't deny that.
Well, the first thing that I wanted to talk a little bit about is something we posted about it on our site, but Ryan and Jen at the Transmission have stopped podcasting. So I know that they had their reasons for stopping, and a lot of those had to do with the amount of time it takes to do all the podcasts, and their kind of overall thing was with some of the other stuff they had going on in their lives, they didn't think that they'd be able to keep up the podcasting schedule, and they said if they couldn't do it all the way, do it right, that they didn't want to do it at all.
Well, I'll tell you what, they I've heard maybe one of their podcasts early on, and from the sound of it, they put a lot of time into the production of it. They had a really rigid format. They had a lot of, I mean, when they get to the end, we put all this stuff together and we edit our audio together to turn into the MP3 to post. That's a lot of work to do. And John does it for us, and we keep it pretty minimal.
Yeah, but since we really have no format.
We have no format. It makes it a lot easier for us to do.
Yeah,
it makes it real easy for me because, honestly, John does it all.
John does all the work, and we just show up. And so in a lot of ways, all the work we do isn't into setting a format and making this section of the show or that section of the show or having little music interspersed throughout the show. All of our time is spent going out on the forums and reading stuff, which is really the core of why we're doing it.
And to be fair, too, he was also, I know Ryan and Jen, they were also doing a number of other things with the podcast. They had a separate blog that they had set up that was tracking all the other podcasts, and they set up another podcast that was an aggregation of all the other podcasts. So they were taking quite a bit on. We do have an audio comment from Mark in Daytona Beach, who sent us an audio comment with his kind of thoughts on that. So here it is.
Hey, what's up, guys? I love your show. My name is Matt, and I'm calling you from Daytona Beach, Florida. I just, got an email, or rather got a podcast to iTunes from Ryan and Jen that they are stopping their podcast. And I just wanted to kind of give a shout-out to them for introducing me and my friends to you guys. So anyway, we will continue listening to you guys and another podcast. Just wanted to just share the love and say that we're going to miss the transmission. But we certainly appreciate you guys' podcast and your site. We're on it a lot. And anyway, keep doing what you're doing. And just wanted to kind of via you give a shout out to Ryan and Jen for introducing us to you. Keep up the good work, guys. they lost. Bye-bye.
Matt, your new name is Mark.
Sorry about that. See, this is a reflection of...
Yeah. And I think that Ron and Jen, they probably had more subscribers than we do. I think they were consistently on the iTunes top 100. And so, you know, no shame in that.
So now, you know, everybody just has to, you know, go out and let their friends know that Lost Cast is a good podcast to listen to in their absence. So
hopefully.
Yeah. So and you know, I should note too that they've said that they're not, you know, gone for good, and they're still going to participate in podcasts, and you know, we put out an open invitation to them if they ever wanted to contribute anything or kind of, you know, make an appearance now and then, that they're welcome to use our podcast to do that. So so I'm going to talk about some listener comments that we got. We've got a few of them that I want to talk about before we get into the meat of the podcast. One of the interesting things, Rianne in Canada actually sent us an email, and you know, there's this whole Easter egg thing that people have been talking about in the last episode with
in
that Battersea power station that was on Pink Floyd's Animals cover.
With the sign that no one could read.
With the sign that nobody can read. And I will point out that nobody still can read it, and I think it's so blurry, even in HD. I don't know if you know, the... they were just kind of screwing with us.
I don't think
to
it's...
get us to read that, or if they thought that I think maybe we could see it and we couldn't.
I don't even think they thought about it. I think they did the shot. There was a sign there. There's nothing on the sign. There's something on the sign. You can't read it. They never thought about it.
But, we jumped they said in the official Lost Podcast, they said, pay attention to it, write it down, and there's nothing there.
They were just trying to get the bloggers going. They're just trying to get people on the forums going. That's all it was.
So, but Rhiannon in Canada... says, on one of the tracks on Animals, there's a track called Sheep that references the 23rd Psalm in the lyrics, which I thought was interesting. A lot of people now on the forums are really kind of digging into this. I think it's an interesting coincidence. I don't know how kind of deliberate that was, but one of the things that I do think is interesting is...
Did you go back and listen to Sheep to see what the song is about?
I did. I listened to part of it. it's the basis, though, of that album... The whole album is really interesting, and I think maybe the album itself is kind of a connection to Lost, and it's kind of in the vein of the whole Watership Down thing, because the Animals album, all the tracks on there, and there are only a few on the album, I think it's like five tracks or something,
they're all
comparing men or mankind to pigs, sheep, and dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought
that's
that was
very Animal
kind
Farm.
Of Animal Farm-ish, Watership Down-ish, you know. Mm-hmm. Type of thing. So I thought that was interesting. One of the things, too, that I wanted to bring up, Tim sent us an email, and this was something that I know we didn't talk about on the last podcast, but I think really makes sense, which is, he said, one possible significant monkey wrench in my whole theory is the sickness. He says, Danielle and her team were overcome by the sickness after 2 months on the island. Plane survivors are now approaching that milestone, and he said that all the, you know, we'd speculated about Charlie's hallucinations, whether it was the monster doing that, whether it was, you know, Locke maybe somehow involved, and the other possibility is the sickness. It could be that Charlie is the first one who's succumbing to the sickness.
Yeah, and they haven't mentioned the sickness at all this season. I don't think we've really heard about it since the episode they played last Wednesday, which is a repeat of last year's Numbers episode.
Well, I think it wasn't the last time it was brought up with Desmond when he asked Locke how many people were sick.
Yeah.
So earlier.
That's true.
So I think that might play a more prominent role.
You know, can't forget about the sickness. I think we can't forget about the inoculation, the little shots with the and the little vials with the numbers on them that Desmond was injecting himself with. So, I mean, that's still going to play a factor. And perhaps these delusions and these visions that Charlie was having is part of that sickness.
Speaking of the sixes, when was the last time we saw the numbers in anything prominent?
I don't know. The numbers haven't been as prominent lately, I don't think.
I wonder if that's why they played the numbers episode last.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the reasons I think they may have played the numbers episode, and this is an email we got from Ken, and he brings up a really interesting connection with the mental hospital connection. So last time we had talked a lot about, you know, Hurley asking, you know, Libby, where do I know you from? And a lot of people are speculating that he might know her from the mental hospital. Well, Ken sent us an email, and he brought up some other connections. He watched the rerun of Numbers, which was Hurley's kind of flashback. and had a lot of his interaction in the mental hospital.
Yeah, it was good to see that episode.
And one of the things that he says is, he says that we also have, he says, Locke's mom was institutionalized in the same Santa Clara mental home that Hurley was sent to. He said, you can read it when the detective hands Locke the background papers in
Deus Ex Machina.
Deus Ex
Machina.
Machina. Okay.
You were trying to get all, you were trying to get all Latin.
So he says, that's a connection. There could be a Libby connection. And I actually got this mixed up. Ken wasn't the one who watched the rerun. It was Conrad from Pennsylvania who sent us an audio comment. And he said he watched the rerun on Wednesday. And he said, Marvin Candle.
Yeah, you don't remember that?
He shakes Hurley's hand or something.
Back when they first showed Orientation and we first were introduced to Marvin Candle beginning of the season, there was a lot of, you know, talk on the forums about he's the guy that was in the insane asylum or the institution with Hurley. And, yeah, there's a man who appears to have, you know, features of Asian, you know, persuasion.
Yeah, but we don't know if it's actually Marvin Candle or not.
Asian persuasion.
That was awesome.
But and I looked at the side by side, and it was really hard for me to make that assumption, too.
I guess it brings up, I guess, the possibility. I mean, a lot of people say, well, okay, well, if Libby was there, then maybe there's some type of Dharma initiative oversight of things that are happening, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or they were all trying to keep an eye on Lenny, or I don't know. So I thought it brought up a pretty interesting connection. So we're going to dive right into each of our kind of things that we want to talk about, and we're going to start with Robert. Robert, do you want to...
What do you want to talk about, Robert?
Well, what I wanted to talk about was actually asking questions. I wanted to ask you guys questions, kind of, this is what I'm thinking or what I've been trying to formulate some theories on and some ideas on, so I want to hear your perspective.
And maybe the listeners as well can come and comment.
Absolutely. Send us, comment on us.
Send us comments. You know, we'll post this up here and comment in the little comment link and to what these questions are.
So my first one is, where's Michael?
That's a good one.
Is he alive, dead?
I think the assumption at this point is that he is alive.
Okay.
But I think it seemed like in that episode that Zeke was kind of saying that they had somehow kind of like maybe misdirected him. Don't worry, he's not going to be coming back.
Or no, he's not going to find us.
He's not going to find us.
He's not going to find us.
But I had some speculation. I actually thought that one of the reasons that Locke couldn't find his trail anymore was because I think that there's another hatch there, and they took him.
Mm-hmm.
But... I don't know. At this point, it's just all speculation.
Brian?
I think whoever he was talking to in the computer sent him away. I think that the Zeke and his crew were aware of what he was told and where he was headed. So I think it's very possible that he was misdirected. And it's also very possible that he's locked up.
Well, he knows that. We know that he... Or at least we assume that Michael is headed somewhere very specific.
Yeah.
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 He knows where he's going.
Yeah.
Because he was too close. For me, it was too much of a coincidence that they found, I mean, that Jack and them Zeke.
And Locke mentioned something about the fact that he was going in a straight line. He knew exactly where he was going.
Yeah.
So, John, you just my next question, you just kind of touched on this with Michael. What hatch will they find next? Any idea?
I think that there are other my assumption is that there are other hatches on the island, and I think that I think we know that there's probably a hatch somewhere where Zeke was something that they're kind of in their territory, but whether they'll find that one first or whether it'll be another one that they find.
I think we'll learn about another hatch through Zeke's group personally.
Do you think we'll learn about another hatch before the season's over?
Yes. I think we're going to end up learning about, we're going to learn more about Zeke and his crew before. Were those guys, that one group of others, if they are the whole group of others, I doubt it, but that one group of others, we're going to learn more about them. And I think we're building up to a confrontation with them. And I think that we're going to see a little bit more about what they're about. And whatever they're about, I think it's going to have something to do with a hatch.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's just speculation. I don't really know.
So, where's Desmond? Any idea?
He's on the island.
Yeah.
We know that. But where exactly he went to, I think that it's possible, you know, that they talked about how much Zeke and those guys knew about them when they met them. Mm-hmm. I think it's more than possible that Desmond either went to them.
Is with Zeke's group.
Is back with them and has informed them about a lot of stuff. Yeah. Or he's somewhere totally different. Because I think the weird thing is that you've got Danielle Russo on the island, and she seems to kind of be this weird independent entity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's possible that Desmond could be in the same kind of situation as her, too. So cool. Where he's just kind of off on his own.
Glad you combined that, because that was going to be my next question. Is Danielle connected to either Desmond or Zeke? So Brian, I'll ask you the first question, where is Desmond, and is he connected to Danielle, or is Danielle connected to Zeke? Are any of the three connected, I guess?
I think, you know, Danielle is in fear of all the others. She lives in isolation from them. She lumps them all into one group, whether or not they're different groups. It doesn't seem that she is aware of that. Desmond seems to be a part of whatever group was already on the island. I just, you know, he said he crashed up there on a reef back when we covered that the episode where we met Desmond and he took off. We talked about how he seemed to know where he was going, how he was wearing, you know, he ran off wearing that the Dharma sort of jumpsuit.
Yeah, the jumpsuit.
And we also brought into question his sort of reason or his rationale for being there, his excuse for being where he was. I think he was trying to misdirect them, or there were things he could not let them know. I think he's with Zeke's group.
Okay. Next questions are a little bit more lighthearted, not quite as serious as the show, but who's going to hook up next? Can't say married couple. Who's it going to be?
Jack and Anna Lucia.
Okay.
Locke and Claire.
You know, my first reaction is Jack and Anna Lucia, but I actually think that Hurley might hook up with Libby.
Libby.
Even if she is kind of a plant and a bad person, if she kind of like seduces him to get information out of him or something, because she seems very flirty.
There's been a lot of spoiler stuff about her out there.
There's a lot of attention.
There's a lot of attention focused on her, and there's been some like. You know, people that are official spoiler people out there in the media and whatnot, dropping things here and there. And there were a couple links that were dropped on our comment section that I'll reference a little later on in the podcast when we do the spoiler. We draw the spoiler line in the sand. But Anna Lucia and Jack seem. I mean, they're really playing up that romance.
Okay. What will make Jack cry in the jungle next?
That's a good one.
We saw in the preview for the next episode, Locke taking some guns. That might make Jack cry.
Yeah, it seems that Jack cries in the woods when what he considers reality is broken away. Like when he finds out that Sawyer knew his dad. When he finds out that Desmond was there in his life. So whenever he finds out that someone on the island is connected to his life, that's when he cries.
Oh, so maybe the next one will be if he finds out that, you know, his wife was cheating on him with Desmond. That'll make him cry.
Okay. Seriously.
That's good because I also brought a theory, a relationship theory with me. It was from Bertrand Russell, and... I'm going to say it's a guy.
Bertrand Russell is like a famous author or something.
Well, it's a poster on Lost TV Forum. Anyway, the theory is that Sarah was having an affair with Jack's dad.
And we talked about that last week.
We talked about that.
I think it's highly unlikely, man. Based on the scenes we saw where Jack, mm-hmm. I hate to rehash what we talked about last week, but based on the scenes we saw from that episode where Jack turns in his dad for being an alcoholic surgeon, the fact that his dad cheating on him with his wife never came into play.
Well,
when they're turning each other in and arguing and unearthing all their dirty laundry, it certainly would have played a role at that point.
I don't know the way the writers write this stuff. I mean, the thing that I think is interesting about that when people bring up that idea is I think back to that episode and, you know, Jack's dad is like telling him all this stuff. Oh man, you better stay away from that lady, you know, and he says to him, you know, Jack kind
you
of looks at him like,
that line,
so. Well, no, Jack kind of looks at him like, who are you to be giving me advice?
Yeah.
And he says, it's you're too good for that or something like that. Like kind of referencing, I'm okay for me to do that. I'm that kind of guy. It's too good for you.
Okay. What? One more theory.
Some people can perform heart surgery after a fifth of wild turkey, such as me. Others can't.
But not you.
Yeah. Studies the hand.
In the same post, Zeke kind of also had a theory that really, his wife was pregnant,
and she was testing him.
Yeah.
And based on his reaction to finding out she wasn't pregnant, she had decided at that moment, there's really no one else.
Yeah.
But it's based on his reaction to her being pregnant, she didn't want anything to do with him, knowing that he wasn't going to be there, he didn't have time to dedicate to it, didn't have attention to dedicate
and
to it.
She may have
so
lied to
she was
to
pregnant,
him.
There was no one else there. So yeah, she lied about being pregnant, she actually was pregnant, and then just left him.
I think
she didn't want to be a part of his life that way.
I think it's really feasible that she lied about being pregnant.
Okay, so that was my theory. I got one last question. If you could have one amenity on the island, what would it be? One thing you could bring with you from this world,
Brooks,
from the island.
Brookstone has this foot massager thing. I don't know. I was a couple months ago, I was strolling through the mall for whatever reason, and I sat down. I was waiting for my wife to get some stuff or whatever. And I sat down and put my feet in this thing, and man, it works it. It works your feet big time. It's amazing. Brookstone, it's got like five different little things pushing on your feet in all these different directions. It's just incredible. I'd want that.
I would say I would bring the first season of Lost DVD with me to the... No.
No DVD, no DVD. I'd be like, check out my disc, man.
Yeah, right? are we going to read this again? My kind of instinct tells me I'd bring something like really like survivally. Like my first thought was, let me bring a gun. But, you know, they've got enough guns, already. So maybe it would be like something like a... Oh, I don't know. Man, that's a tough one.
Brookstone foot massager.
I bring a Brookstone back massager.
Yeah, it's cool, man. We can put it together off, and we can charge people heroin. And sell it. And then sell it to the others. Right. I wonder if Locke's wanting to become like a cartel or something. He's saving all the heroin.
We're saving all the heroin.
Yeah, we bring syringes so Charlie doesn't have to keep eating all the heroin.
He can actually shoot.
That's gotta be bad for his teeth.
Yeah. All right, those are all my questions. I encourage everyone to kind of respond. Send us what you would bring. Respond to any of them, but tell me what amenity you would bring to the island if you could.
Cool. So
we're going to move on to Brian.
It's my turn.
It's Brian's turn to talk about what he wants.
I've got two little theories. I don't know if you can really call them theories, but interesting half theories that are out there online. And one thing that was a comment from the web and something my brother who listens to the podcast had said. Now, my brother Scott... the other day was visiting, and he's like, you know, I listened to your podcast, and man, I think you guys gave Charlie and that whole plot line a bad rap. You know how we were saying how the sort of drug guy addicted heroin plot line is tired. And he felt like we were just kind of dismissing it when actually, you know, this show is about the forming of a society. And something like drugs is such a real and standard part of the human condition when it comes to being a part of society, that actually led me to thinking, you know, that's true. The show sort of is about society, and it also led me to sort of rethink how Charlie was, all the different factors around Charlie when he was going through this situation. And the two things that came to mind are the two most influential figures in Charlie's life in that episode that he was bouncing back and forth were Locke and Echo. And Locke and Echo are pretty strong polar opposites. Here you have Locke, who is a guy who, his name is John Locke. I don't think it's any coincidence that there's a real John Locke, who is a philosopher, who created this sort of philosophy or way of looking at mankind that was based on this thing called the social contract, about how men can sort of live in harmony with one another. And a lot of his thoughts ended up inspiring the guys who wrote the Declaration of Independence. And his background was very secular. He got his inspiration by studying humanity and studying nature and not so much religion. And so here you have Locke, who is decidedly a secular guy, and here you have Echo, who's extraordinarily religious. Now, there's been a couple times where the writing has set us up to see that Locke really doesn't know a whole lot about religion. He's very faithful. He's got an immense amount of faith in something, but it's not religion. It's in human nature. It's in society. It's in people, but it's not there. And so here you have Charlie trying to get help from two sides, trying to get help from the side of religion and spirituality and trying to get help from the side of secularism. Really, if you're talking about John Locke, you're talking about, you know, secular government. A democratic government in a lot of ways. And so, you know, Locke
shuts him down, one strike, you're out sort of guy. And naturally, on the other side, on Echo's side, religion doesn't ever shut anybody out. Ideally, religion doesn't ever shut it out. Of course, in reality, that's not always the way. But and so that was kind of an interesting thought that really set Echo and Locke up as the polar opposites. And there was a podcast a while back when we first had Echo bring the extra clip of film where we talked about the stories of Gilgamesh. And there were these two particular gods who seemed to really resemble. They were kind of buddies in a lot of ways. And they went off on all the kinds of adventures and slayed a lot of demons and stuff like that. All that sort of stuff. And this guy had brought up a thing on the fuselage where he brought back up the Gilgamesh story in relation to fire and water. I'm not going to get into it because it's pretty dense stuff. But the gist of it is there are fire gods and there are water gods throughout this deal of Gilgamesh. And I'll go ahead and post the link. It's a guy named Stackaroony on the fuselage.
Stackaroony.
It was a lonely post. Nobody responded to it. And I can see why, because when I linked and read to it, it is a really dense. It's like somebody wrote an essay about Gilgamesh. And if you've got your little Yahoo toolbar, you can type in fire and water and hit the highlight button and just go down and read around all those sort of things. But I thought that was interesting too, to kind of call back to that story, which is, it's one of the first, Gilgamesh is one of the first places where society existed to a point where they're writing about mythology and all that sort of stuff. So moving along from that whole revisiting Charlie and the sort of duality or whatever between Locke and Echo that brought about.
Well, one of the things I just wanted to bring up really quick is that, we talked about this whole Gilgamesh thing, and the gist of the idea was that we were comparing Locke and Echo to the two kind of characters in Gilgamesh that were buddies. And I think I kind of expected them to be a little bit more buddy-buddy than it seems like they are.
I think they are fire and water. I think so. When you look at it, that's the difference between those two guys. I would think more oil and water than fire and water. But, we were talking about how Echo really shows Locke up when it comes to faith.
Yeah.
When Echo comes around, Locke doesn't look like he's got as much faith because Echo's got so much more in a lot of ways, or is driven by so much more. So something a lot lighter. Sassy from the fuselage. Over the past few days, she's a huge, and I'm not. I haven't watched a daytime soap opera in ages, but she's a General Hospital nut. And over the past few days on ABC's General Hospital, they've had a monkey on the show, Robert. Good for you. You might want to start watching General Hospital. They got monkeys on there.
I thought they had a monkey on that for like a really long time. No. There was another soap opera that had a monkey on there, and a guy actually fell in love with the monkey.
Oh,
it was awesome.
Well, are you saying we need some monkey love on
this monkey? This monkey was found by a General Hospital character on an island in the South Pacific that ABC is calling the Markham Islands. This monkey is, and I'm reading what Sassy says. This monkey has been apparently linked to apparent encephalitis outbreak that is now spreading throughout the town. The people that are getting sick are all delirious, having crazy thoughts, dreams, and saying crazy things. Everyone in the hospital has now been quarantined as a suspected encephalitis epidemic spreads. Now a new character has entered the picture. A man from New Guinea is desperate to find the man who brought back the monkey to the U.S. Now the interesting part of all this is that one of the more eccentric characters suspects there is a government conspiracy surrounding the disappearance of another village in the Markham Islands he has read about on the internet. His theory, guys getting theories off the internet.
The internet.
His theory was that the government has several test islands in the South Pacific where they could possibly release the disease to see how the population castaways react to each other after they have all been infected. They, others, government, conduct their experiments on the castaways' people on the island, collect the results, and when they're done, they try to burn up the populated area to remove any evidence of any medical experiments that may have been conducted on the test island on the people. But someone always escapes. Since I'm also a lost addict, I just found it really interesting that the writers of ABC's General Hospital had a storyline happening in the South Pacific with the characters all going delirious and another character spewing out his test island theory, and wondered if there was any kind of connection between the two ABC shows. Any thoughts on that? I think someone who writes for General Hospital
is a Lost fan.
Is a Lost fan.
It sounds like it to me. I mean, that's. We're going to keep a very close eye on General Hospital from now on.
There's
a monkey. I mean, come on.
Maybe one of the writers is moonlighting as like a freelance gig, writing for General Hospital.
John, I'll let you be in charge of watching General Hospital. That's
can you buy them on iTunes?
I'm sure there's a podcast.
Actually, I think you can't. They had one of the, and this is bad. I just know this because of the whole podcast.
No excuses.
Sure.
I saw something that said that one of the podcasts or one of the soap operas, they're actually offering an audio podcast, full audio podcast of all the episodes. Like you can listen to the episodes instead of watching them.
Huh. That's interesting. But I think it's the idea.
The acting.
Yeah, of some
the visual, I mean.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah. Those guys are good.
That's great, man.
I bet that monkey actor is remarkable.
What monkey actor is not remarkable, I ask you.
On a soap opera.
The idea that, you know, do you think there's a connection between two ABC shows? The plot, of course, would never threat. But then that makes me wonder, what if you could have two television shows that are about the same thing? Like, you could have one television show that's Lost on the Island and a whole other show that's all backstories.
That's cool.
And so you watch two different episodes in a week.
That'd be nice. Huh. They have, like, a Wednesday nights, you could do the actual Lost episode.
And then Saturday nights or Friday nights, they show just the episode of all the people's, of one person's backstory.
Or what if you did something like they stopped doing backstory in the actual show, mm-hmm. and then they just release the backstories online as video that you could watch.
Yeah.
Or you see it from a different, you see it from Zeke's group's perspective.
I think that's a brilliant idea to splinter shows like that.
And that would help too. The backstory thing would help with all the people that are pissed off about the backstory stuff.
Yeah. So, and they'd have to be each mutually exclusive. I mean, independent. So you could watch one all the way through and not even know what's going on the other side, but still have a nice cohesive story. Okay. Next deal.
Hold on. Okay. Story time from when the Black Rock landed.
There you go.
That would be cool. When that ship got there, however deep it got in the island, one, how did it get there? And two, what happened to the crew?
That would be a really cool story.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Copyright, Lost Cast, 2006.
That's right. Damn. The other comment is sort of another sort of theory thing, or a comparison to a Twilight episode called The Howling Man that was made by The Matrix on the fuselage. And he said there was something kind of familiar with the training film and orientation that was similar to Rod Serling's Twilight Zone episode, The Howling Man, and it struck him. It was the one where, I'll just give you an overview of this particular episode. A guy stumbles into this sort of area, into this monk's monastery, where the monks sort of decide they're not going to take him in. They're very sort of protective of where they are, and they kind of kick him out. But he's really sick and needs help, so they take him back in, and they sort of bring him back to health. They tell him, they hear this, and he hears this howling all the time while he's being healed up. And when he ends up going down to see where the howling's coming from, and he sees this old man, this guy hanging out in this like bamboo cage with this staff that has him locked in. Like any normal person could just knock the staff down and walk out, but this man couldn't. And as it turns out, the man is actually like the embodiment of all evil, and the monks are there to keep people from...
I've seen this one.
The monks are there to keep people from letting the man out. And whenever new people come in, he is there specifically, uses his powers to draw people to him, or something along those lines. And then he sort of smooth talks him into letting him out. And once they let him out, he turns into the devil and disappears. And the guy, and this is kind of the cool Twilight Zone thing, the guy, I guess, spends the rest of his life trying to capture him. And at the end of the show, you see that he's really telling this whole narrative to his housekeeper. Because he's got that guy in his closet, and you see that he's got that staff, that stick that locks him in his closet, and he's now the protector of him. Now, I don't think that there's like some pure embodiment of evil. Like I don't think Satan is behind the concrete wall, but I think that's an interesting thought that the others are there, and the hatch is there to protect something from escaping, and there's something inside of there that is bringing people to it to try to let it out.
And maybe an idea that, you know, because I think the interesting connection is that, you know, Walt, he's shown a lot of things in his past that he may not necessarily be the friendliest person on the planet. Killing that bird, he's had a lot of, you know, burn the raft, like all this stuff. So what if the others have kidnapped Walt to protect everybody else? Because Walt's evil.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they did.
What about Aaron? I mean, Claire's baby is not an angel.
Well, he's baptized now.
That's right. My bad. He's an angel.
Yep.
But I also think, you know, just to take a quick, tangent. Fire, and you mentioned that, and there's the baptism about purifying the baby, and fire and water are both, like, holy elements of purification throughout history, which is also another way. They burned, raised down things before they create a holy ground. And in Gilgamesh, there was a city that was burned down before it was turned into paradise. And then water, of course, is always used as a holy symbol as well. And then I don't know if I have anything else on that stuff. But I think Matrix, that's a great episode to think back on in terms of where we are here. And on the mural, there is that place where it says 108 in the sun, and to the lower right, somebody... And that link we had off our website to that person who did all that work on all the murals,
yeah,
it said "Stop Walt" on that one of them. It could be interpreted to say "Stop Walt."
Stop Walt,
which goes into your Walt is evil.
Walt is evil,
which would be a good name for a band or an album.
Well, that might be why Locke and Walt were getting so friendly. Yeah. You have Locke's evil, Walt's evil. They'd make a perfect couple.
And we also got a comment that we got a comment that. Zeke is, in fact, the name of the bus from the Country Bears.
It's on the bus.
In the movie, it's the name of the bus.
It's the bus's name?
Yes.
The bus is the name
of the bus.
Dude. Y'all remember, like, the days of the van? The old school days of the van? People named their vans. People named their cars.
My first car was a 85 Volkswagen Vanagon. Yeah. It was silver, so we called it the Silver Bullet.
So there you go, dude. Okay. I could tell you what
was
my friend...
Zeke, though?
I could tell you what my friends named their station wagon when I was in high school, but it's a PG show. I can't say.
It's PG-13. What is it?
I can't. Dude. There's no cursing on this show.
Yeah.
John, you're up, dude.
It's my turn.
Batter up.
So as I was kind of thinking about what I wanted to talk about, at first I wanted to kind of try to logically break everything down and say, okay, I think that there are, you know, two distinct groups of people and all this stuff, but... I stumbled across a really interesting article that was on MSNBC, and we'll put the link up to the full article. And it's basically, the title of the article was called The Castaways Secret Dossiers. And it's basically, it's an article that goes through all the major characters in Lost and just gives kind of a breakdown of them. And I wanted to go through this article because I thought it was pretty interesting. It's written, some of it's written a little cheesily. I maybe wouldn't have written it so...
I love that word, though.
Cheesily.
Cheesily.
That's good stuff.
Entertainment Weekly-like. But, so I'm just going to go into this. Just to give you a little preface on the article. The article says, you know, add up the gaps between the episodes, the tangle of its plots, and its creators' dazzling attention to detail. Sometimes you feel like you need a scorecard to keep up in the weekly Lost water cooler debate, which is, of course, what this podcast is for.
Man, that's a wordy sentence.
Right? Yeah. That's a long sentence. So they're going to go through, and I'm going to read some of this stuff from each of the characters, and it just gives kind of a breakdown. It's kind of good to just go back and look at all the characters, because sometimes we get such character-centric episodes that a lot of people get lost by the wayside. We may not have heard from them for a while, so they're going to go into these. So starts out, the first one, John Locke, role, spiritual leader and MacGyver in training, special powers, opening hatches, calming potentially prophetic babies. Deep, dark secret, those legs weren't made for walking. It's written kind of cheesily, like I said. Tool of choice, that's not a knife, this is a knife. Good or evil.
What is that from?
Crocodile Dundee.
Okay, yeah.
He could be the secret font of evil and the best-kept spy among the Losties, or the good guy who will save them all. Predictions. We know Locke's good with kids, but spooky looks of late are a sign that his fascination with Claire's baby, Aaron, can't be just some long-hidden uncle complex. Take the baby and run, Claire.
You know, some people were saying that the fact that it was that Charlie saved the baby from floating out to sea in Locke's crib that he made for her.
Yeah.
That was something.
Next one is Echo. Role, Taylee's spiritual leader, Locke's nemesis, or is it the other way around? Special powers, hunting, tracking, impromptu baptisms. Staring down black smoke monster.
He's got bow staff skills.
Deep, dark secret. He's not half the fearsome Nigerian warlord you think he is. Actually, his deep, dark secret would be that he was a Nigerian warlord, because nobody on the island knows he's a Nigerian warlord.
Yeah.
Tool of choice is scripture stick, also Bibles with secret compartments. Good or evil, we've stopped trying to guess. I think he's good.
He's good,
he's
dude.
Good.
Predictions, he and Locke have been quietly scoping each other out for the past few episodes. Locke has the faith thing down, but Echo can quote chapter and verse. The bell's rung, and they're coming out of their respective corners. Showtime. Yeah.
They're scoping each other out.
The next one is Jack.
That's fine.
This is
This is bad. I'm not even going to read that.
No,
that
was, read
no,
it.
Got, you got to read it. Like this. Let me read the roll.
Okay,
Jack,
roll.
Roll. The doctor is in. Your face!
Okay. Special powers, brooding. They don't have crying in the woods on here.
That would be... They're truly not a fan of the show.
Self-sacrifice, occasionally stitching. Deep Dark Secret, how exactly did the marriage break up? Who's the other man in his wife's affair? How do he and Desmond really know each other? We know how they know each other.
Come on.
They're implying something else.
Tool of choice, little black bag. Mm-hmm. Good or evil, making Mr. Perfect evil could only make the show more interesting, but it'll never happen. They're saying Jack's never going to be evil. Whatever. Predictions, he's not over Kate yet, and Lucia, and let's hope he hasn't dropped off all his doubts when it comes to John. Not quite Mr. Clean Lock, because he's going to need him. Next one, Hurley. Roll, the dude abides, keeper of the numbers.
Shout out to Big Lebowski.
Special powers, incapable of weight loss, even on a very limited island diet.
That's just mean.
Well, no, that's something in the Lost podcast they've said that the writers have said that they're going to address why in before the season's over. Deep Dark Secret, if I were a rich man, a weight I am. Doesn't mean I wasn't in a mental institution, though. Tool of choice, the numbers, good or evil. If the writers made fan favorite Hurley evil, Lost would be the subject of a viewer revolt, the likes of which has never been seen. I'm not even going to read
can
that.
Can you see, like Apocalypse?
No, come on, read
can you
it.
See, like, Marlon Brando Apocalypse Now style, Hurley hanging up in some, like, big temple with all kinds of throngs of people slaughtering cows around him, talking about the horror.
So that'd be awesome. So they said the likes of which hasn't been seen since Bobby Ewing showed up in his Dallas shower.
Oh.
I don't get that.
They don't need to go referencing Dallas.
Please stop.
Just think how juicy things would get after that. Yeah.
Literally.
Predictions from MSNBC. He'll stay good. He'll stay fat. He should stay away from Libby, who may not be as innocent as she seems. If she's a clinical psychologist, is she in Dharma's employ or was she on staff at Hurley's clinic? Saeed.
She's hot, though.
Role. Token Iraqi, actual battle-scarred veteran, as opposed to Locke and his military fantasies. That's an interesting comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Special powers, computer repair, transceiver triangulation, light torture.
Computer repair.
Deep Dark Secret, Nadi is alive and living in California, and he's already proved he would betray almost anyone to get back to her. Tool of choice, he's pretty good with sharpened bamboo. Good or evil, the lone Iraqi evil, they wouldn't do that. You wouldn't want to get on his bad side, let's just say that.
You know, I have to say that John is cutting out all the more cheesy lines.
I'm cutting out some cheesy ones, like, right, Thayer? Predictions, we're sure to discover Saeed has more mysterious mechanical skills and random knowledge that will come in handy when needed. Also, this hunk won't be single for long. He and Anna Lucia actually have a lot in common if he can get past that whole Shannon murder thing. I was actually thinking that, like,
Saeed and Anna Lucia would be, like, perfect.
Yeah.
They'd beat the crap out of each other.
Well, he has computer skills and mechanical skills.
Name, Anna Lucia.
Torturing skills.
Her role, good cop, bad cop, leader of the Tailies. Maybe not anymore.
Not anymore.
Special powers, sorting out the bad from the good with occasional errors. Sorry, Shannon.
Yeah.
And possibly Nathan. Deep Dark Secret, she's been known to shoot first and ask questions later. Oh, wait, that's hardly a secret now. Tool of choice, happiness is a warm gun. Good or evil, depends. How much do you like Shannon anyway? Predictions, she and Jack both served as leaders of the half the plane. Now they're finding even more in common, but we're betting Anna hasn't quite scratched her itchy trigger finger itch.
Hmm?
Charlie.
She's crabs?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Bam.
Zing. Nobody got that reference.
The zing?
The zing.
Yeah.
Yep. Charlie, roll one-hit wonder from Hobbiton.
Hobbit Town?
It says Hobbiton.
Oh, is that where he's supposed to be from?
Maybe that's a typo. No, that's...
I think that's a typo.
Yeah, that's the Hobbit reference. Special powers, his constant dreams that Aaron's in danger have made him a bit of a Cassandra. Nobody believes him. Even if they did, what would they do? Deep Dark Secret, he wants a new drug.
They're, like, getting all the songs.
They've already had a Huey Lewis reference, a Crocodile Dundee.
They followed a John Lennon reference of Happiness is a Warm Gun up with with Homeboy.
They obviously were in college in the 80s.
One of them will make you something.
Okay. Every week now, we're going to have Brian do an 80s cover. Tool of choice, guitar.
G-E-E-dash.
They actually spelled it guitar. Good or evil, quite possibly, Charlie is too stupid to be evil.
I will say, at the end of the Moth, at the end of the Moth, they had him, you know, he when he was, like, running around eating his heroin out in the woods, he'd always have his hood down, his hood up around his head. And he always kind of looked like that dark kind of figure in the shadows that's going to mug you or
something. Well, somebody talked about that with his hood.
At the end of the episode, he had his hood off.
Yeah.
In this Fire and Water, the sort of, you know, companion episode to Moth, he ends the episode with his hood on.
Yeah. So predictions and suspicions about Locke getting too close to Aaron may have some merit, but who listens to The Hobbit? Michael, roll, Daddy Dearest.
That's awful, dude.
Special
That's
powers.
That means nothing.
Artist by trade, also can make ancient computers spring to life and miraculously dial up his missing son. We don't know more powers, but hey, Walt had to inherit the backwards-talking animal conjuring from one of his folks. I actually think that's interesting.
No construction?
Construction, yeah, they left it out. Deep Dark Secret, he really wanted Walt all along, but he hid it to make the boy's mother and stepdad look better. Tool of choice, ancient apple hybrid.
Tool of choice.
Good or evil, good but capable of being clouded and led off course by his anguish over his son. Predictions, was he really chatting or was that computer conversation just his fantasy? If he was chatting, was it really Walt? Can you say led into a trap?
I think that, you know, that's an interesting thought, because if going back to was it a fantasy, is, you know, Charlie's sickness, is if the sickness is what Charlie had, is the sickness what Michael had?
Yeah. Walt, roll, if this were the Wizard of Oz.
Sorry. And if he is sick, and he is delusional, and he's just having, kind of like Charlie is something in his head is twisting his reality, then Zeke and those guys know it. And that's why they say he's not going to find us. Yeah. Because they're like, he's sick, he's messed up in the head, he's out there.
That was almost Horseshack of you, though.
What?
Ooh!
Mr. Carter! Mr. Carter!
Sorry.
Walt, roll. If this were the Wizard of Oz, he'd be the wizard, we think. Special powers, indeterminate but significant enough for Sea Captain Zeke and Posse to have absconded with him.
Absconded?
Big words. Deep Dark Secret, plays a mean game of backgammon, also might have inadvertently hastened his mom's death with his mind.
Ooh. Oh.
Animal of choice, polar bear, and Vincent, of course. Good or evil? Good, but probably capable of more evil than he knows, like that kid on the It's a Good Life episode of The Twilight Zone.
Yeah. For those of you, people know what The Good Life episode is, where the kid gets anything he wants.
Yeah.
And everyone's freaking out around him because he just makes people disappear.
Predictions. Here's a safe one. We predict that we'll see Walt again before the season's end. Even Money says he's going to be key to the showdown with the others, but what's going to happen to Vincent? Sawyer, roll. Island, con man, and all-around slice of beefcake?
Who wrote this?
Woman writer.
Not necessarily.
Maybe not. Special powers invites torture for no apparent reason.
Right.
Invents nicknames, some better than others. Zeke rocks, but Freckles is a bit twee. What is that?
It's a bit twee.
Freckles is rocks?
Tweed?
Twee.
Twee. T-W-E-E.
Oh.
Maybe it's like Hobbiton.
Deep Dark Secret, killed a man in Oz and got the wrong guy. Not quite as catchy as killed a man in Reno just to watch him die, but you get the picture. Animal of choice, there's a boar out there with a vendetta against him. Good or evil? Good or evil, ironically, for his evil, he started out sounding he's probably pretty good. Predictions, he and the Dread Pirate Zeke will meet again as promised, and it ain't looking good for old Zeke.
What is that? Pirates of Penzance reference. Is that what that is? The Dread Pirate Roberts? No, what is that from, the Dread Pirate Roberts?
That's from Princess Bride.
Princess Bride.
Yeah.
References are so lame.
This is movie product placement. Yeah. Kate, roll. International Woman of Mystery. Special powers, jealousy.
Austin Powers.
Deep Dark Secret, murder her stepdad. Except her stepdad was a real dad, didn't quite escape the intercontinentally long arm of the law. Animal choice, the black horse that won't go away. Good or evil, aside from the whole patricide thing. Predictions, fair money's still on Sawyer to woo Freckles, though that kiss with Jack wasn't just a brief bout of jungle love.
Did he watch that kiss?
If she kissed Michael, that's jungle love, right?
If Jack's serious about Billy Lossway Army, we hear Miss Austin's plenty hunt handy with a gun. I think Kate's a lot more evil than people think. Name Jen. Rolls. Keeps them all in fresh fish. Also hired muscle for his father-in-law. Special powers and uncanny ability to learn pidgin English. And looks surprisingly good in a doorman's uniform.
Super.
Deep Dark Secret. Wife's son thinks he's a dangerous man, but she has yet to discover his tender side. Though an extended stay as the Taillys captive has softened his edges. Animal choice, sea urchin. That's good eating, Hurley. Good or evil? Good, even if it's taken folks a while to notice. Predictions, forget Berlitz. Jen will be reading, reciting Shakespeare before you know it. Sun, Roll, Gardener, Translator, Nurse, Voice of Reason, Special Powers, might be a more skilled healer than Jack. Just hope she doesn't give you some of her special poisoned water. Tool of choice, any gardening implement, real or improvised. Good or evil, good enough that the others are keeping a closer eye on her than she knows. And, of course, that'll be in our spoiler section. We'll talk a little bit about that. Prediction Sun has surprised everyone with her hidden skills, so as the Dharma mystery unfolds, it's safe to assume we might discover a few other talents as yet unmentioned by the Quiet Woman from Seoul.
What was up with the poison water comment?
She gave, was it to Michael?
Yeah.
When they were getting ready to go, I think she didn't want her husband to go, or Kate had convinced her something. She gave him that mild sort of poison and knock him out, make him sick.
That's right.
But nobody knows that she did it except for
Kate.
Kate and maybe Jack. Mm-hmm. Last one, Claire, Roll, bearer of special babies, and the Shirley Jones to Charlie's David Cassidy.
Man, I don't even know what that means.
I'm glad they didn't start with that.
See, I feel bad when I'm like referencing old stuff like Karate Kid and all that.
Yeah, that's.
But then when someone comes and predates me with the references, I feel pretty good about that.
Special powers, not much for her, but baby Aaron seems to have a certain glow. Tool of choice, Charlie, until lately. Good or evil?
Charlie is a tool of choice. I love it. That's the best part of that whole article.
Good or evil? Probably good, but something was unsettling enough to scare off a tough-looking Aussie psychic and make her scram all the way to L.A. Prediction, secondary characters seem to have a mysterious way of dying on Mystery Island. Unless the Dharmites have some as-yet-undisclosed plans for Charlie, we wonder what her long-term...
Claire.
We wonder what her long-term role among the Losties might be. Equally puzzling is how she chose the name Aaron. We get the Brother of Moses reference, but in that case, who on the island is a would-be Moses? So, we'll put the link up to that whole article.
There was one more little thing on there. It said, MSNBW.com lifestyle editor Jean Bonnet wonders whatever happened to those Apollo bars from the Dharma food locker. MSNBC.com television editor Gail Fisherberg Cooper wonders how Driveshaft ever got any kind of a hit anywhere.
Yeah, those are the people that wrote the article. So we'll put a link up to the article on
really?
The site. Yeah.
Wow.
We just read the whole thing.
That's... I know. go with and count the other movie references.
There are a lot, yeah.
There are a lot.
That was bad.
So we're going to move into Lost Links real quick, and there are a couple interesting things. The most interesting thing that I've come across, actually, is that the Hanzo Foundation site is down, and that is the official ABC site for the Hanzo Foundation, and I read about this last week. Somebody said they weren't able to access it, and they thought that maybe they're doing a redesign or something. So they're either having technical difficulties or they're making changes to it or something. So, but it's down.
Yeah, or maybe they're having IT trouble.
Yeah.
They're like, man, we don't need to spend the money on that. Let's just leave it.
We're gonna get into the spoiler section now. So anybody who doesn't want to hear it, go ahead and tune out. We're starting it now. So the one spoiler that I have, and I know Brian, you said you have some spoiler stuff, right? The one spoiler I have, which is a pretty big one, is that there are rumblings that Ana Lucia is going to get killed off. And there was an article, I can't remember if it was Us Weekly or maybe it was on MSN as well. The link that I saw was from I think MSN in Australia. And it says, Lost star Michelle Rodriguez is getting killed off in the series because she's a nightmare to work with, according to reports in the U.S. And it goes on to say that they're mad about the drunk driving stuff, but they also said she barely shows up on the set and is always in a bad mood, and that was Us Weekly Insider that said, and this article says that she's going to get killed off as soon as they can write it in.
She's on drugs.
And her spokesperson said they wouldn't discuss, but they said she was dedicated to her job. So,
drugs.
Possible.
The one thing I've got is a comment that it was, or a couple of things, a comment made on our website by Chris James. Says, interesting stuff coming up these few weeks. Read up on spoiler flicks, some stuff. And I guess in episode 15, Claire starts to remember things, as in being kidnapped. And they say in that spoiler that she's going places. Maybe she's going to remember where Ethan took her and go explore. Another thing that I heard is that we're going to find out that Libby. Now, this at first, this guy had some information, and he had like one of those things. Libby is A, and then it had like blanks, like hangman blanks of the words that are in there, and had one filled in. and then another one got filled in, and then people, the most likely fit of that is a compulsive liar.
Yeah, I heard that one. There's Olivia's another. Olivia's a compulsive liar.
Yeah. I think that's pretty interesting. And also, I think that we're going to find that Sun, and I think we mentioned this last week, Sun gets abducted and then returned.
That's, the next time on Lost is that it's called The Long Con. It's a Sawyer-centric episode, so they're going to do the flashback. We talked about this last week. They're going to do the flashback that they were supposed to do in the Raft episode where they did that Michael flashback. Yeah. There's a conflict between Jack, Kate, and Anna Lucia that Sawyer seems to be very amused by. And then there apparently is a failed kidnapping attempt on Sun.
On Sun.
And the last thing I'm going to bring up is the Dharma acronym stuff.
Okay.
I'm going to go through just a couple of
I wonder if maybe Anna Lucia is going to get killed by the monster. I wonder how she's going to die.
Well, I thought that with Anna Lucia, if they're going to kill her off, they're setting up this whole conflict. She's working with Jack to train.
It should be a blaze of glory.
Yeah.
I hope it's good.
It should be like Young Guns.
So I have a couple acronyms, and
I was trying to think of what they're. What do they call themselves?
The Young Guns?
Yeah.
Oh.
Regulators.
Regulators? Right out!
Oh, man.
Come on, John, just regulate.
Just, right,
just stop saying
I'm going to regulate.
Just regulate.
So there are a couple Dharma acronyms. We haven't gotten a lot of people sending these in. I still think it's kind of a fun thing to do, but I'm going to put a couple links up to some of the threads on the fuselage that have people's speculation on the acronym. But there are a couple out here that there are a couple from the forums that I grabbed that I thought were pretty funny.
These are funny.
One is DeGroot, happiness, adventure, and rowdy merriment. another one is deadly henchmen attacking recently missing airliners.
That's it.
And then I invented one today.
Ah.
Excellent.
Desperate housewives are really male androids.
How about mad androids?
Mad androids?
Mm-hmm. No, I like
moody.
Moody androids.
Desperate housewives are really moody androids.
Which is coincidentally the name of my band, the Moody Androids.
The Moody Androids.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It's robot music. You wouldn't understand.
I wouldn't get it. It's all binary.
Yeah.
That's it for this week.
Cool.
Well, we'll see everybody next week. We'll have a new episode next week, right?
I hope so.
Oh, yeah, I'm by myself.
I'm skiing, yeah.
Oh, yeah? No, that's not next week, is it?
What?
Nah, it's 2 weeks from now.
Oh, shoot. Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to go skiing. I was excited.
Next week will be like the 7th or something. We're going on the 16th.
Yeah,
all right. So we'll be here next week, everybody. Stay lost.
Stay lost.
Stay lost.